Take your Bibles with me this morning just for a few moments here to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. I don't know how it all goes in every house, but, you know, I remember, you know, waking up Christmas morning. It was just the most exciting thing in my house growing up. And I told you before how my parents were always good about, you know, I don't know how good of a Christmas we're going to be able to have this year. And you know, my mom played it up so well that I was going to be happy with anything like toilet paper, you know. I was just going to be excited for anything under the tree. And then to walk down those stairs on Christmas morning and just to see the stash and see all that is just so much wonder and amazement as a child. You know, and to be able to see that through a child's eyes and all the excitement that was coming on. And you know, and after we saw the gifts from Santa and we went and woke everybody up and I was notorious for doing that in our household as I was the baby, and so I got to wake everybody up because Santa had come. And as I was growing older, then, you know, the times would come when we would begin to hand out the presents. And someone would have to be designated as the gift giver and to give them out. And you know, and it's at that time when you have to grab the gift, and then it's always nice when the gift has the clearly marked tag on it. All right? You people that find the camouflage tags that match the wrapping paper, that match the design, and are hidden somewhere on the package that you have to find the name tag, you people, I think, are of the devil. All right? So here is... You look for that name tag, and you look for to who? Is this to me? Is it to my brother? Is it to my mom? To my dad? To who? From who? And we read those tags, and then there's always that mystery gift that's underneath the tree. You know, today Hayden got the mystery gift. Because as he opened up his present and thought it was going to be a shirt, it was the gift for our little one-year-old or less than one-year-old niece. And he said, I don't think this will fit, Mom. When there is no name tag and it's the mystery gift. But you know what? The exciting thing about the presents is to read that tag and see, you know what, to, and then to read your name. Hey, this is a gift for me. This is a gift for me. And today on Christmas, we can celebrate because heaven sent unto us. Heaven sent unto us. This Christmas and what we celebrate in the birth of our Savior, this is the gift with the name tag that said, it's for you. This baby, this Christ, this Messiah is for you. And that pronouncement that the angels gave to the shepherd, for unto us is born this day. This is a prophecy that dated back almost 700 years earlier to Isaiah chapter 9. And this morning I want us to look at this. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. It says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Those words there in verse 6, for to us a child is born. To us a son is given. Isaiah is giving us a prophecy here, not only for the time in which he is writing, but for a time that would look forward into the birth of this Messiah. What we see here actually in a little bit of the background of Isaiah here, Isaiah 7, 8, and 9 deal with prophecies concerning Christ. Concerning the Messiah. In Isaiah chapter 7, we see the prophecy that a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. And so we see these prophecies in Isaiah 7, 8, and 9, and this prophecy comes because of King Ahaz. King Ahaz over Israel or Judah at this time was a wicked king. He was the grandson of Uzziah, the son of Jotham. And here he has taken Israel into idolatry. Worship of God has stopped. He is even Ahaz himself had sacrificed his own son to a pagan god. And he had gone off into this idolatry and these different worship. And all of a sudden, these other kings are rising up. Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the king of the northern tribe, they are rising up and they are looking at Ahaz and they're saying, you know what, let's go down to Judah, let's take out Ahaz, and let's install a puppet king. Let's install somebody. And Ahaz got word of it, and Ahaz was worried about this. And now we know in our life when troubles come that we should trust the Lord, right? And we know God has given us His promises, and we should trust the Lord, especially if you're the king of Judah. You should put your trust in the Lord, but that's not what he did. He took it upon himself, and he made a pact with Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria, this king that was against them. And as he made this pact with Tiglath, and he decided, you know what, I'm going to send a message to him. I'm going to say I'm going to be your ally. In fact, I'll be your slave. And as he sent this pact, this was against the wishes of the Lord. And Isaiah has come to say, listen, come seek a sign from God. And Ahaz said, you know what, I don't want to tempt the Lord. I don't want to tempt the Lord. I'm not going to seek a sign. That was just nothing but a hypocrisy. And Isaiah said, well, listen, God's going to give you a sign. And this is the sign. A virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son, and we'll call his name Emmanuel. And we see the prophecy concerning the Messiah. And that's where we build up to here in chapter 9. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. Here a child is showing us his humanity. When Jesus Christ came, he was born of a virgin. He was born of in human flesh and blood. We cannot deny the virgin birth, or we deny his humanity. And if we deny his humanity, then his sacrifice makes none of effect to us. Here he is, a child in flesh and blood to overcome our infirmity. A child is born. To us a son is given. The son is the divinity. This is the lineage of God himself, the Son of God, coming to this earth to be the payment, the Messiah, the one that he sent. And then notice there in verse 6, to us a son is given. And then we see kind of a gap between that and the next phrase. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Because, see, that is a reference to the coming kingdom and rule and reign of Christ in the millennial kingdom. So unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born, speaking of Christ's birth. And when he comes here to this earth, and because of what he's going to do on the cross, because of what he has done for us through that, one day he's going to be able to come back and he's going to be able to rule. He's going to be able to reign, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Oh, the shoulders that will be able to take it all. You know what? We are commanded as Christians to pray for our government and to pray for our leaders, because on them rests so much and on them is so much responsibility. And it's hard to imagine putting all that responsibility upon any man's shoulders, but oh, there's coming a set of shoulders one day that's going to rule and reign with all the power and might, and it's upon his shoulders that the governments will rest, and his name shall be called. And then look at this list. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What a list of names. You know, in scriptures we find somewhere around 256 different names given for Christ in different words and different descriptions. And here we see these few words that give us a great description. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, it is in this that we see this first word here, wonderful. You know, and just this morning, I want us just to focus on wonderful. And I know you're all having a sigh of relief right there, you know, and just one word and not all of them. This is wonderful. to understand that when this son is given, that this child is born, that he's going to be referred to as wonderful. What is it to wonder? What is it to wonder? You ever been in those moments when you've just been overcome with wonder? Wonder is something that transcends. It is transcendent to all that's around. It's something that stops us down. When you wonder at something, it wraps all of your being. And this word here for Christ is this baby that comes, he will be called wonderful. You know, as this morning, as the kids were seeing the gifts that were there for them, and that Santa had brought, and Finley comes walking in, and he looks there at his stash, and he goes running over to it, and in there we had there was a vacuum cleaner, a little toy vacuum cleaner. You know, we got to teach him right from the very beginning. And he reaches up. I mean, he had a basketball goal, little Tykes basketball goal. He had some balls. He had a stuffed animal, all this. And no, he grabs the vacuum cleaner. And what is the first words out of his mouth? Ooh. It's not technically a word, but it was neat, you know. And he found the one button that was on it. He pushed it and he made the little air go and the little sparkles go. And he clenched both fists and, you know, he's shaking and he grabs it. And then he immediately just starts vacuuming the floor. And, you know, just to watch in those kids' eyes that wonder. What does it take for us just to stop and to wonder? Just to stop and to realize that this baby that was born, this Christ that came, is wonderful. You know, sometimes we need a time to just stop and to realize that with everything that's going on around us, there is someone that gave for us, and that gift that he gave was wonderful. The gift that he gave to us was wonderful. To stop and to wonder at it. You know, to wonder, it takes time. It takes time. We don't wonder when we just pass through things. And I think a lot of times we don't stop and wonder at Jesus Christ anymore because we get too busy. We get too busy and we fill our schedule with all these different things and obligations and all these things that we think that are important. All of a sudden our time to stop and to wonder at who Christ is just kind of goes away. You know, if we're going to really wonder at Christ, and if we're really going to allow it to sink in of who he is, then we can't allow ourselves to be too busy. Another reason why we don't wonder as much anymore is because we're used to a lot of very artificial things. We're in a very convenient society. I mean, who pops popcorn on the stove or over the fire anymore, right? We can put it in a microwave and hit the microwave button, and it is done in 2 minutes and 20 seconds. We have all these things that are artificial. But you know what? When you come upon something that is real, that is a work of craftsmanship, don't you just stop, like, appreciate it? Well, look at the wonder. Look at what it is. You know, we've gotten used to too many artificial things. And I think we do this spiritually as well. We get used to very artificial things. We get a quick message. We get a quick word. We get a quick this or that. And all of a sudden we have quit. And our spiritual stamina has just gone away of being able to stop and to wonder at the Word of God, to wonder at who Jesus Christ is, to allow our minds just to meditate and to think about all that He's done for us. You know, the scripture tells us that when the shepherds saw this, they wondered at what the angels had told them. Can you imagine that trip from that hillside there to that stable as their mind is just going crazy with what is going on, what's happening? Who is this one that's come, this King of the Jews? Who's this one that all these angels had to appear to us to bring about? And the wonder, the amazement that's going on, the anticipation, so that, boy, when they arrived to that scene, they understand that this is a moment unlike any other. There's wonder. It's not artificial. Problem is, when we get too much of the artificial, we lose the value of what is real. And we need that time of wonder. But then also, wonder has depth. If we're going to find that something is wonderful, we're going to realize that there is something deep here. It's not superficial. It is something of value. If it's wonderful, it's going to have more to it than just a shell, that there's going to be something of value in it. The more that, I have an opportunity to do woodworking, the more that I appreciate the craftsmanship that goes in it, and my father-in-law has been teaching me different things and how to do different things, and over Thanksgiving, I had a chance to refinish my desk in my office, and it was a $15 garage sale find, and it had grooves in it. It was two different stained colors. The previous owner tried to stain it himself, didn't work, didn't do it right. And when I had that chance over Thanksgiving to sand it down and to go through every piece and to work out the blemishes and to go through that, you know what? You begin to wonder at craftsmanship, of making the cuts just right, of sanding it down, and making sure that your children don't come in and put fingerprints in the stain when you're doing all those things. And, you go through all that craftsmanship and you wonder at it. And you know what? You understand that there is something of depth to it. There's something of value. If we want to understand this Christmas about how wonderful He is, we got to understand the depth of who He is and all that He's done for us. This week, I saw this quote from Warren Wiersbe. He said, "Wonder is important. His name is wonderful, leads the list. Unless I know something of His wonder, I can never come to Him for counsel or for power or for any other spiritual essential. Wonder leads to worship, and worship to growth, and to growth, character, and service. Wonder begins with receiving Christ into the heart and life, experiencing the forgiveness of sins and the invasion of a whole new life. Christ liveth in me. I will come into Him and will sup with Him, and He with me." Oh, the wonder of the depth and value and richness in a relationship with the Lord. You know what? When we get away from that depth, we lose a sense of wonder. But you know what? Wonder is a response. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful." To call His name Wonderful means that there is a response, and this response of wonder is a response to the dullness of life. To realize, folks, that as Christians, we live the most exciting life that you can live. We should live the most joyous life through the ups, through the downs, because we have a hope, and His name is called Wonderful. His name is called Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. And because of that, this takes away the dullness of life. It gives us some meaning. It gives us some joy and understanding that this life is not all that there is, but there is a day that we will be able to rule and to reign with Him for all eternity. Wonder is a response. It's a response to His person. Today on Christmas, we get to wonder at His birth. That the King of Kings and Lord of Lords came in the form of a baby. We get to wonder at His birth, knowing that that baby would grow up, and we can wonder at His life. And you know what? The Scripture gives us vivid accounts of His life and His ministry. Oh, the people loved to follow Him, to see what miracle He was going to do next, to see who He'd heal, to see the meals that He'd provide out of a few fish and loaves. They wondered at His life and His ministry, even at one point saying, "Is not this the son of a carpenter? How is He doing such things? How is He teaching such things? Why is He saying these things?" We wonder at His life. We wonder at His death. The death that was so cruel for an innocent man. The death of the cross. To think about in the birth of our Savior, those tiny hands. To think about those tiny feet. That little heart. that little baby that came, and you know, the joy that comes in a little child and that baby, to think that those hands, those feet, that heart were destined to be upon a cross, to be pierced for us. The wonder of His death. Then it comes the wonder of His resurrection, to do what no one else could do, and that was to raise again from the dead, to show that there is power over the grave, that there is victory over death through His resurrection. And like, just as He was raised, we one day will be raised as well. To think about the wonder of His ministry to us now, that in heaven, we have an advocate with the Father who lives. He can save to the uttermost, and He lives to make intercession for us. That when we think we've fallen, when the devil wants to put all that guilt on us, when he wants to put all that pressure on us, we have one standing beside God the Father saying, listen, my blood covers his sin. He is forgiven. He is a child of yours. He is not under that weight of sin anymore. I have paid the price, so that when God looks on us, he sees a son and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's the wonder of his ministry to us today. The wonder of his promise that if I go to prepare a place for you, there you will be also. To know that, lo, I am coming quickly. That I'll be with you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And the wonder of the future. You know, we see this name Wonderful, as Wiersbe pointed out, it's the first of this list. His name shall be called Wonderful. And this Christmas, we can have joy because of the wonderful gift that was sent to us. You know, there was a picture that my sister-in-law tagged my brother-in-law in this week, talking about when you look at the way that a package was wrapped, and if it was all just mangled, you know that it came from me. And my sister-in-law said, you know, it's the thought that counts, right? Have you ever heard that? It's the thought that counts. You know, usually it's, you know, when you know the gift is a little lacking in something, you know, it's the thought that counts. It's the fact that I was thinking about you that counts, right? I mean, that's what it means. Well, you know what the wonderful aspect about this gift is? Really that the thought is what counts. Because God, the Almighty, the Creator of this world, the one in whom our sin flies directly against, thought so much of us before the foundations of the world that He knew that He would send His Son in the form of this child to be our Savior. So that one day it could be said, for unto us a child is born. To us a son is given. And you know what? His name's going to be called Wonderful. The thought that counts today is the fact that God loved you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. And in the midst of all the gifts that we open today, midst of everything that we will get to do or everything that will be upon our hearts, we can rest assured that our Father in heaven knew the perfect gift for us. And He sent unto us that gift that's wonderful, that takes care of our greatest need. That wonderful news is what we get to proclaim today. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Shall we stand? This morning, as we come to this time of response, this time of invitation, I encourage you, you know, with the busyness of Christmas, and I know that, you know, we have many that are traveling. There's many that are off with family, and many of you have things with an obligation still upcoming today. And But can I ask you just here for just these few minutes in this time of response for us just to think about how wonderful Jesus is. And can we just allow our hearts to remember what He has done for us? To maybe respond unto Him today. Do you know, is there a time in your life where you have said, Lord, I need You to forgive me of my sins. I need You to come into my heart, into my life, and to save me. If not, why not today? To make it personal, to make it real, to have the opportunity to see what He can do in your heart and life today. If you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior today, when's the last time you wondered at Him? That you wondered at all that He's done for you? In just a moment, I'm going to pray. We're going to sing, Oh Come Let Us Adore Him. The altar's going to be open. And if you need to know Christ as your Savior today, I'm going to be down front. I'd love to take and show you how. If you need a place to come to join with, to be a part of, to help grow, I'm going to be down front. We'd love to see you come join and be a part of us. But if you need to just wonder, find a place at the altar. Find a place in this room and just cry out to Him in wonder and amazement for who He is. That He came and lived a life just to die for us. Our dear Father, Lord, I pray that You would just allow our hearts to be open to You right now. Help us, Lord, to wonder. To be amazed at all that You've done for us. And Lord, I pray that this Christmas we would not allow other things to get in the way of who You are. We wouldn't be too busy, too wrapped up in the artificial. That we would make it new today that You are wonderful.